Be seated, please.
Oh, the worship has been incredible. Thank you, Stan Ray, for blessing us with incredible singing. I want to welcome a couple of friends of mine. I have to. Randy and Sandy Moore are here with us. Y'all just kind of raise your hand a little bit. We're going to welcome you in the Lord. Randy, they're worthy of it. Randy's going to lead our worship on the 22nd of September, and Stan will have just gotten back from his trip to Africa and probably will be exhausted is the assumption that we're all working from. And so Randy and Sandy are going to be with us. And by the way, the singing was beautiful today, and part of that's because Sandy's here and so many others. It's just it's been an incredible morning, but we want to welcome you guys. They're dear friends of mine. Randy is the big chief, the head cheese of our session at Camp Chioka, and he does a fantastic job. All of us are blessed because of his and Sandy's care and ministry and work. So we want to welcome you guys, especially in the Lord. And I also have to take a moment and thank Jake and Christy for an incredible evening yesterday. Thank you all so much for opening up your homes and hospitality. We enjoyed Prospect Sausage, Ballpark, Winnie's, and Johnsonville Brats. And we had a ton of children there yesterday. All you parents that brought your kids, we just had a phenomenal time. Thank you all for your hospitality and opening up your home to us. It was pretty funny. They planned the event before they became members of our church. Now, that's pretty phenomenal, you know, when you've got folks taking leadership in the church before they're even members of a local body. Now, that is truly amazing, and it's very encouraging, guys. Thank you so much for your love for this congregation. Christy told me something the other day that was so encouraging. They were, I think it was, it might have been someone else. Now she's scared. She's got that eyebrow look that my wife gives me all the time. Like, where's this going? But I think they'd been out of town or traveling, and they arranged their plans so that they could be here on that Sunday. Was that you, Christy, was telling me about that? You know, and that's, some of us make our plans so we might miss church. It'd be a little more convenient. They altered their plans so they could be here for worship. So that says a lot about you, this church family, this church body, and what God is doing among us. And we want to get the word out. We want to spread the word about Christ. We want to spread the word about His church. Every time God gives us a platform or an opportunity, we want to make the most of it. I want to tell you about some folks that make the most of it. I was, if any of you are kind of aware about anything that's going on in our culture right now, you know that the hottest craze, the big phenom that's going on, that's sweeping America by storm, is a family who lives in Northeast Louisiana. They have long beards, long hair. The men do, not the women. It'd be scary if the women had long beards. I used to date a girl that, just kidding. And they are the marketing craze. They are the phenom that is going on right now. As a matter of fact, in 2013, their season finale show of Duck Dynasty, the season finale, brought in over 9.6 million viewers, breaking all previous records of nonfiction. The genre of nonfiction television that is referred to is reality TV. And then the season premiere, okay, now those of you that, some of y'all from Wharton County hadn't got out too much, finale is where we get our word final. It's related, which means the last one, okay, and premiere means the first one. So I just want to help you out there in case you didn't know. And the season premiere that just showed a couple of Wednesday nights ago, matter of fact, we were at church and everybody was looking at their clock. John, you are going to be done at 7:30, right? Because we got to get home and see Duck Dynasty. So sure enough, it was 11.8 million viewers. They're so popular. I recently came across an interview that K-Love had with Jason and Missy Robertson. And if everything works right, I want to play that interview for you right now. It was a Christian Music Awards hosted by K-Love, and they interviewed Jason and Missy for just a moment. It's called Building a Foundation on Christ. Lord willing, we never know.
said fame and fortune was frivolous to me is because we were raised really poor. I mean, my brothers, we had one bed, one room, but nobody told us we were poor, and you know, I was just as happy. We were in the outdoors. Every day was an adventure to me. And the reason is because we love, you know, who we're with our family, and that's really the reason we love to hunt. It's not so much about what we get to eat or, you know, how many ducks we shoot. It's about who we're with. And so if you're happy in that situation and you realize what true happiness is, which to me is God, people, and then whatever else, number three, with me it's ducks, I realized, you know, what are you going to buy? You can't buy that. I was just as happy when we had nothing. So,
when we were teenagers, I noticed that about their family. My parents, my dad's a preacher and my mom is a school teacher at a Christian school, so we didn't have hardly anything either. And so what attracted us to each other was what we saw in each other in our faith. And we dated very young, got married very young, and that's basically been our own motto. We've been very happy for 22 years before the money started coming in. So we have our core values as a family, and we've kept them, and that's our number one priority is making sure that our kids know that, so they also will have the same values, no matter what circumstances come your way. If God is your solid foundation, good or bad, you're going to be happy. You're going to be joyous if you're in Him.
Yeah.
And that's what we stand on.
Well, to prove her point that it was a godly thing, you know, we were both virgins when we got married until our wedding night. And we decided to do it God's way. And we basically had a godly agreement that we would help each other get to heaven. And so, I mean, a lot of people just think that that's unreasonable or preposterous. I'm like, no, God's way. Yeah, that's strange. I'm like, you know, if everybody chose to do it God's way, the world would be a lot better off. You think about all the guilt.
And what an influence that we can have on our children because of that testimony. Our oldest son, Reed, has been dating a great girl for over a year and a half, and they also have the same commitment. So it's just such a wonderful, joyous time for as a parent to be able to see that and the commitment that they have as children and wanting to do that also.
But it's a great testimony because we're like, look, we do this not because we're representing some organization. We do it because we trust in God and we believe His way is the better way in all things in life. So that's why when you ask me about the fame and fortune, I'm like, I'm going to use whatever God blesses me with as a platform to tell the world, look, God is for you. He proved it through sending Jesus down here to die for us and be resurrected. And for us, that gives us second chances and it gives us hope.
Yeah.
And so we spread that message everywhere. We say, look, if God can use us, He can use anybody. So that's our story and we're sticking to it.
Amen. Matter of fact, if any of y'all get an opportunity, I would highly encourage you to get a copy of this book by Phil Robertson called Happy, Happy, Happy. It is a compelling story about a man who knew the Lord, walked away from the Lord for many years, experienced the consequences of the choices of following a sinful life, and how God brought him back to holiness and to salvation in Jesus Christ, and how he lives today to tell the story for Jesus Christ. And that's a part of the DNA of their identity. And it's got to be a part of the DNA of our identity. I loved what Jason said. If I can pull it. Oh, I thought that was pretty cute about the beards. Y'all know how beards are, you know. I've got family members that really look down on facial hair, really down, like my father-in-law. But Shakespeare, hey, who could be more influential in culture than Shakespeare? He that hath a beard is no more than a youth, and he that hath no beard is less than a man. So if you want to be a man, grow a beard. All right. I love it. My daughter's already encouraging me to do it, so I may take her up on it. Listen to what Jay says. I'm going to use whatever God blesses me with as a platform to tell the world that God is for you. I'm going to use whatever platform God gives me to tell the world that God is for you. This morning, church family, what I want to speak about for just a couple of minutes is the power of word of mouth, the power of word of mouth. Matter of fact, everyone that runs some kind of corporate company or business that supplies products, the greatest thing that could ever happen to them as far as advertising goes is for them to have some product that sets on fire because people are sharing the good news about that product from one person to another. Word of mouth is more important and has greater impact than any kind of commercial you could ever have. And so all the craze in marketing these days is how to create some kind of advertisement, some kind of connection that will go viral. There's the word for it. That it'll go viral by word of mouth because it'll spread via all kinds of social media like tweeting and Facebook and MySpace and all that kind of stuff. Word of mouth is powerful. And here's why. This is why. The reason word of mouth is powerful, because you usually buy into the influence of others because of trust. We usually buy into the influence of others because of trust. And if someone I trust says, John, you need to see this, or John, you need to get this, or John, you need to be there, because of the relationship that I have with them, because of trust, I will most likely do what they're calling me or asking me or suggesting that I do. And I want to demonstrate this in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. John chapter 1. Turn there with me in your Bibles. John chapter 1. And look at verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist, and he has followers. He has disciples. This is after the baptism of Jesus. Jesus was baptized the day before by John the Baptist. Verse 36, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, about the time when everybody that's been working during the day shuts down their labor. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing he did, the first thing Andrew did, was to find his brother Simon, tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated means Peter, which means rock. There was a rabbinic story that was circulated about someone that was building a foundation for a house, and he was digging down, trying to find that rock foundation. And they kept digging and went a little deeper and did some sounding and went a little deeper. And finally, they found the rock, and from there the house was built. Now, I don't know if that's exactly the imagery that Jesus is projecting onto Peter or not, but something's going to be unique about Peter, that he is going to do great things for God with the platform of being the rock that Jesus ascribed to him. Whatever he would do, he would do it for the glory of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the word of mouth spread. Andrew finds out that Jesus really is the Messiah. He really is the King of Israel. He really is God's anointed. He really has come to save his people. And the first thing he does is he tells his brother Peter. And Peter buys into it because of the trust relationship that he has with Andrew. You know, it must have been amazing for Andrew years later when Peter performed miraculous works for the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you know that Andrew would have thought back to that day and go, "Yes, I remember when I shared with my brother," or when Peter preached the first sermon at Pentecost and 3,000 people were added to the Lord's church that day. Don't you know Andrew could have looked back and go, "Wow, what a day that was. Who would have ever thought brother fisherman of mine would do something so great for God?" I can say, I used to work in West Monroe, Louisiana. I was around the Duck Dynasty crew all the time. And if you would have said, John, one day they're going to make a reality TV show after this family, I would have said, I would have. Are you serious? You got to be kidding me. These people are bizarre. I don't think that's going to work. Who would have ever thought of the platform that God would give someone who simply loves God first, loves others as himself, eats together as a family, sits down and prays at a harvest table? Right now, you'll have a hard time finding a harvest table at any furniture store because there's been a run on them, because people want to get back to eating meals with their families. Who would have ever, and has long hair, facial hair, which God gave them. Okay, God gave you guys that facial hair. He really did. I'm pretending not to be the man that God created to me every time I pick up a razor. I'm like a girly man. I think I'm a little been urbanized. You know, it may be time to get back to my roots, you know. Hey, you look at all the old pictures in America, and all your ancestors, they had beards, you know. It wasn't until after World War I and GIs that the face started getting real cleaned up, and now we think, well, that's what a man's supposed to be. I don't think so. Anyway, that's a whole nother sermon for another time. Because of what Christ said and did, word of mouth went viral. And God has created this thing called the church. And the scriptures teach us in Ephesians, and God placed all things under his feet, Jesus, and anointed him to be head over everything for what? For the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You see, God's platform for reaching and changing and redeeming the world, redeeming society, redeeming culture, redeeming El Campo, redeeming Edna, redeeming Garwood, redeeming Bowling, redeeming Palacios, redeeming Bay City, redeeming the communities around us through us, the platform that God uses is his church. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, Paul brags on the church at Thessalonica, and he talks about how their reputation has gone out all over the world because of their abiding faith in Jesus Christ. And the message spreads. Paul says, the message rang out. Or another word that it could be accurately translated is it echoed. It echoed. I mean, the word just went back and forth all over the Mediterranean world because of this one church, this one church. Folks, I want you to know this. God has created this church to be the word of mouth for Jesus Christ. Do you get it? God created this church, this time, for such a time as this, to be the word of mouth so that he could be reconciled to the world and he could redeem them, grow them, and then send them to be his word of mouth, his spokesperson to all the world. I want you to know it's a small world. Back in the 1960s, there was some research that was done about what would it take to get your message to someone else that you might not even know on the other face of the earth. Okay? And so they come up with these different people all over the globe, and they did all this research, they did this study, and they found out that you are only 6 movements away from knowing everyone and being in contact with every front one in the world. In other words, you know somebody who knows 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 that person. Did you follow me on that? And the research has showed that it wasn't 6. Later research done called the Watts study found out it's not 6, but it's actually just 4. Do you know that you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows the person that you're trying to reach? Folks, it's a small world. It is a small world. We have numerous people we can build relationships with if we want to. We have many people we can share the gospel with if we want to. We have lots of people we can invite to church, which is God's, the body of Christ, who fills the earth in every way for him. We have lots of people we can invite to church if we want to. If we want to. God's platform to reach the world is the church. I want you to circulate good rumors about what is going on in this church family. Good rumors went out by Jesus. Good rumors went out because of the church in Thessalonica. Good rumors need to be going out from the church of Christ in El Campo by word of mouth. And you are only four steps away of reaching anyone in the world because of the gospel at work in and through you. You have that kind of influence. You have literally that kind of connection. We want to be the body of Christ, and we want to build other people up. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the reason God gifted people in the church to do this is so that it would prepare God's people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of all the fullness of Christ. And so what God is doing among us is he is growing us so that we would be mature. When we're mature, this is an agricultural term. When a plant becomes mature, what does it do? It goes to seed. And the seed produces more and more. It multiplies. And so God has given us the ministry of multiplication. Not addition, church family, not addition. God gave us the ministry of multiplication. All it takes is you, by word of mouth, sharing the gospel or sharing good rumor, truthful good rumor about this church. Do you know that if you share one negative thing about this church family, it'll take 33 great rumors to negate the one negative? Do you know that word of mouth negativity goes faster than positivity? Did you know that? Negativity sticks. Why do you think when we get in political elections, it goes negative? Because it works. And so you think about the word of mouth, the things, the actions that we do, the things that we say, these things all impact how people feel about this congregation. We do this thing called a benevolent ministry. And anytime somebody in our community dies, we'll give them a cake. We'll give them a packet with coffee and tea and toilet paper and paper towels and plastic flatware and all kinds of things that anyone would need when they have guests come to their home unannounced. And usually when somebody dies, they have a lot of people come to their house, especially in our community here in Wharton. And so our church family, this is what we do. If any of y'all want to get involved, there's an opportunity. When we take these packets, these care packets to somebody, what we're doing is we are acting on the love of God so that we can create a positive word of mouth virus in our community. A positive word of mouth virus in our community. We do it because God loves us and we want to take on the character of God in being benevolent toward other people. We get these notes all the time. To the family of Arnold Mock. Arnold recently passed away. To the family, we would love to thank everyone for the delicious cake and the bag of goodies that Suzanne brought by during the loss of our dear father. We will never forget your kindness. Nancy and Jim Brooks. We will never forget your kindness. Do you think for a moment that they just sat on that? Or is it possible that they might have shared with others the act of goodness and kindness that this church shared with others? This was a card that touched my heart. Dear Church of Christ, thank you very much for the paper goods, coffee, and condiments you sent us in our time of sorrow. A very special thanks to somebody that's a preacher there at the church for visiting Leah at the funeral home. Your compassionate words were very comforting to Leah as she grieved for her grandmother. All of the generosity you showed is greatly appreciated. God bless you all, Carol and Ned Drapella. Do you think they just sat silent on that act of kindness, or do you think it's spreading like wildfire? It goes viral because of the goodness of this church family. I don't know who made the cake. You deserve greater recognition than I do. I do know Suzanne put together the everything, the little packets and stuff. Hey, I want to tell you something, church family. anytime somebody in our community or your community passes away, come up here. You personally, come up here. We've got cakes in the freezer that are homemade. We've got all these bags ready to go. You come up here and you deliver it to those people that you know, and it will make the difference. And it creates this viral word of mouth for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime we do something good, friends, I want you to get the word out. I want you to be spreading those positive rumors, because the world around us is suffering with so much sin, with so much grief, with so much negativity. And when they see something authentic and genuine and good, they're attracted. They're attracted. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, he was lifted up on the cross. He's lifted up every time the church gets together. He can be lifted up every time we sing. He can be lifted up every time we pray. He can be lifted up every single day when we do an act of goodness and kindness in Jesus' name. He can be lifted up. The question is, will he be lifted up? And when I am lifted up, Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So church family, could you be, hey, you might not have a platform like Jason and Missy, okay? And some of you don't have the gift of facial hair or the bizarreness of being so in love with God. But hey, take the moment you have. Take the gift you have. Take every opportunity God places in front of you and do it for his name's sake. Do it for his glory. And let people experience the love of God in and through you. Let's commit this to prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of mouth that came to us. That led us to you. Father, we ask that you would give us opportunities this week to make the most of declaring you as Lord, of promoting this church family, and of redeeming all that is lost. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If we can serve any of you, we invite you forward while we stand and sing.